Coming up today on The Dwelling Place, the consequences of rejecting Jesus.
And here she has added up for us of all these sins against her. She's basically condemning herself. And that's exactly what mankind does when we reject Jesus Christ. We have condemned ourselves. He who has the Son of God has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He who does not have the Son of God, Jesus said, is condemned already. That sin's placed in your ledger, and your own sin will end up condemning you, because sin has a payday. Sin has a payday. The good news is that on the cross, the full weight of our sin, the wages of our sin, was laid upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And through faith in him, we can be forgiven.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
It's a real pleasure to welcome you to The Dwelling Place. Today on the program, Pastor Al Pittman will continue his verse-by-verse study through Revelation. We're about halfway through the tumultuous happenings found in chapter 18. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the old expression, "What goes around comes around?" Well, that's exactly what we're seeing here in Revelation 18. The Antichrist and the false prophet and those who have chosen to follow them have had their day in the sun, so to speak. And now, it's time to bring this terrible chapter in human history to a close. Jesus Christ is preparing to return to earth to reign over it for 1,000 years. But first, the godless city of Babylon must be destroyed. Join us in Revelation chapter 18 for today's Dwelling Place. Here's Pastor Al.
Revelation chapter 18, I've entitled this message, Babylon is Fallen. The reign of mankind is now coming to a close. Here in chapter 18, we find four voices. It is the voice of condemnation, the voice of separation, the voice of lamentation, and the voice of celebration. Following the demise of the super church, that is the false apostate church, referred to as the great city in Revelation chapter 17, verse 18, following that demise, we now have before us the downfall of Babylon the Great. Now, some have speculated, as I've mentioned before, if you've been here in our study through the book of Revelation, that many believe Babylon is merely a world system. However, as we go through the text, we'll see that it is not only a world system or ideology, it is also a particular place. At this point, the return of Christ is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming. This is the tail end of the 7-year tribulation period. The Lord is ready to descend and to come back to the earth. But before his return, the way must be prepared through the destruction of Babylon. And it's this destruction of Babylon, it all dependent upon mankind's resources, and all dependent upon mankind's religion, all dependent upon mankind's remedies must cease before Jesus can come and rule and reign as Lord. Worldwide reliance upon Jesus alone will replace mankind's reliance upon Babylon and Babylon's system. We find here first the voice of condemnation, verses 1 to 3. Read along with me. The Bible says, John writes, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven and having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." The evil, rebellious spirit of Babylon, which consumed the false church, here now is going to consume the economic and political power of the Antichrist. Babylon represents a place where demons dwell, where they have free reign, a place where every foul spirit is a cage for every unclean and hated bird. This is speaking of simply satanic or demonic activity running rampant throughout the entire world. And we saw earlier in the book of Revelation where people will actually outright worship the devil. All the nations who are under her influence or drunken influence will suffer the wrath of God, verse 3 tells us. The merchants of the earth have prospered through the abundance of her luxury, the latter part of verse 3 says. Now, some scholars, again, I want to kind of address this again. I addressed it once before, but some believe that Babylon here is actually the ancient city of Babylon rebuilt. Now, the ruins of the city of Babylon, ancient city of Babylon, are there in Iraq today near the Euphrates River. And I think here that Scripture, I know that Scripture suggests that the use of the name Babylon here may simply be symbolic. It may well be speaking of another city, not the ancient Babylonian city. And I believe this is really the case. And why? Well, two biblical reasons. Number one is after the Medes and Persians were destroyed, or the Medes and Persians destroyed Babylon, historians tell us around October the 12th, 539 BC, God declared that the glory and beauty of Babylon would never exist again. How then can it be rebuilt? We find that declaration from the Lord in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. Here's the second reason I believe that this name Babylon is just is symbolic of this city and the system of the world, and that is in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. Revelation 11, verse 8, remember there, Jesus referred to Jerusalem by another name. He called Jerusalem Sodom and Egypt. Why would he do that? Well, because we know that at that particular time, during the tribulation period, Gentiles will basically overrun Jerusalem. They will have their way in Jerusalem, and God was referred to Jerusalem, the city, as Sodom and Egypt. So it is not a stretch to believe that Babylon here is really a name ascribed to another city. Some think the city is Rome. We don't know. It's all speculation. But I believe it's ascribed to another city, not the ancient city Babylon. What we do know for certain here is that this voice here is one of condemnation and judgment. Babylon is fallen, and all who follow her will fall as well. In verses 4 to 8, we continue through in verse 4, the Bible says, John says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. In other words, Babylon has brought this on herself. In the measure, verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now we come to the voice of separation. Voice of separation, the Lord says, come out from her to the tribulation saints, those who come to Christ during the tribulation. There's a call to come out from her, from underneath or Babylonian or the Babylonian influence. She has condemned herself, and now the full payment of her condemnation has come upon her. One of the things people forget sometimes, I think willingly forget, and what we need to understand that apart from our forgiveness in Jesus Christ, apart from the atoning work of the cross, when we sin against God, we are actually storing up for ourselves punishment. And people think, well, you know, I'm saying, oh, God's going to kind of, you know, give me a wink and a nod and let me slide or whatever. No. Sin must be punished. And with every sin, apart from the atoning work of Jesus Christ, God places on the ledger and demands an accounting. And here she has added up for us of all these sins against her. She's basically condemning herself. And that's exactly what mankind does when we reject Jesus Christ. We have condemned ourselves. He who has the Son of God has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He who does not have the Son of God, Jesus said, is condemned already. That sin's placed in your ledger, and you, that sin, your own sin, will end up condemning you. Because sin has a payday. Sin has a payday. The good news is that on the cross, the full weight of our sin, the wages of our sin, was laid upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And through faith in him, we can be forgiven. Paul puts it this way when he said in Romans chapter 6, you know it very well, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We'll pause here for a moment, and Pastor Al will be right back with the second half of today's message in Revelation 18. Thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. I'd like to ask you to pray for this radio ministry as we seek to reach every corner of the world with the gospel. I also want to remind you to not miss a single episode of Pastor Al's podcast called Uncuffed, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other platforms. And we'd also love to hear from you. Email us at cwccs.org. It's a huge blessing to Pastor Al and all of us when we hear from our listeners. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and want to know more about the church, our service times, and upcoming events, again, turn to cwccs.org. Now let's join Pastor Al once again for the second half of today's message in Revelation 18.
The voice here is reflective of Jeremiah's prophecy as well. In Jeremiah's day, the ancient city of Babylon existed, and Jeremiah prophesied against that ancient city of Babylon, which would be destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. And this is what Jeremiah said about Babylon then, and it's a reflection of what's happening, taking place with Babylon here in the tribulation period, toward the end of the tribulation period. Jeremiah chapter 51, and this is from the New Living Translation. And Jeremiah declared, "Flee from Babylon, save yourselves. Don't get trapped in her punishments. It is the Lord's time for vengeance. He will repay her in full. Babylon has been a gold cup in the Lord's hand, a cup that made the whole earth drunk. The nations drank Babylon's wine, and it drove them all mad. But suddenly, Babylon too has fallen. Weep for her. Give her medicine. Perhaps she can yet be healed. We would have helped her if we could, but nothing can save her now. Let her go. Abandon her. Return now to your own land, for her punishment reaches to the heavens. It is so great, it cannot be measured." This is what we see happening to the Babylon of the tribulation period. God's judgment falling upon them. And there is a call, because of God's impending judgment or his imminent judgment, there's a call to God's people to separate themselves from this Babylonian system of iniquities, because judgment has come. In verses 7 and 8, we see the arrogance of Babylon, which is a reflection of the arrogance we find even in the world today. "I sit as queen," she will say, "and am no widow and will not see sorrow." And verse 8 declares that she, in one day, there will be death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. "I sit as queen." We see that today. People saying, "Oh, we don't need God. We can fix ourselves." But the world grows sicker every single day. And people actually think, "Oh, I'm not going to suffer sorrow. Oh, you know, my gated community, my riches, and my fame will protect me." But don't you read the newspapers? Don't you, well, they don't know paper anymore, amen. Don't you look at the news reports of celebrities, people who have everything that you long for, who end up taking their lives, who are miserable, because only God, the Bible says, can satisfy the human soul, amen. Like Babylon, people will resist God until it's too late. You know, there's a time when it can be too late. Proverbs warns us in Proverbs 29, it says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That's exactly what's happening here with Babylon in the tribulation period. It's exactly what happens to the hardness of men's hearts who rebel against God. There's going to come a time when it's too late. The most tormenting memory you'll have in hell is the opportunity you had to go to heaven and refuse. Jesus said the rich man was in torment. He looked over to Abraham's bosom. The Jewish people believed in the place of the righteous dead and the place of the evil dead. He was in the place, the rich man was in the place of the evil dead, tormented by flames. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Could you dip your finger in a cup of cool water and just touch my tongue? I don't need a full glass of water. Just dip your finger and touch my tongue. It couldn't be done. He said, there's a great chasm between us. We can't come to you, and you can't come to us. He said, then send back somebody to warn my brothers of this place. Please tell them, don't come here. What was the response? They have Abraham and the prophets. Let them hear them. There'll be those who will die and go to the place of torment. Now, listen, there's another place. The place of torment is not the place of hell. Well, we'll get into that in chapter 19 and chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. We'll talk about some of that. But you're in torment. And there's some who are in torment today who have rejected Jesus Christ, who are saying, oh, if I could just go back and warn my friends, like I warn my brother, my sister, if I could warn those that I love, please give me a second, Lord, to go back. Then I know they'll believe. If I could just go back and say, don't come to this place. And the same response is they have Abraham and the prophets. They have the word of God. They've heard the preaching and the teaching of the word. Let them hear the word. Let them put their faith in that. The Bible says in hell, the worm dieth not. That means the memory is still alive. And replayed for all eternity in torment is the reminder of all the times you had to come to Christ and refuse. You don't want to go there. I'm glad you're here today. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. But there's a time when it will be too late. Her judgment takes place quickly, verse 8 says. It says in one day. That one day could literally be 1 hour. It literally means a time and space. I say literally means it could also mean 1 hour, but it literally means a time and space between dawn and dusk, or a 24-hour period. In one day, Babylon will be destroyed. Now, many believe that the destruction of Babylon described here and in verses 9 and 10 may refer to a sudden nuclear attack. I mean, we didn't have the technology 200 years ago for in one day. You could destroy a city, but, you know, all of Babylon, all the world in one day being affected. I was reading an article the other day. It was dated February the 25th, 2019. It caught my attention. Here's the title. You probably have seen this article. It's a long title, but here's what it said. It said, Russia threatens to vaporize U.S. cities. Here are the areas in the U.S. most likely to be hit in a nuclear attack, close quote. So I read on. Amen. The article said, it said that Russian state media on Sunday made a shocking threat, even by its own extreme standards, that detailed how Moscow would annihilate U.S. cities and areas after a nuclear treaty collapsed and put the Cold War rivals back in targeting mode. Russian President Vladimir Putin has threatened a new Cuban missile crisis with deployments near the U.S. borders and to aim missiles at the cities that command armed forces. But Russia's media took it a step further by naming their new targets. Now, probably in response to the Russian threat, I read another article where it stated that the United States Air Force is fast-tracking the production of a new generation of nuclear-armed intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, of which a prototype is how fast it's going to be moving, will be available as soon as next year. I hope they hurry up, because Colorado Springs is on Russia's hit list. Just say it. Amen? We'll get to heaven before everybody. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing, I guess. All right. But in reality, according to prophecy, end time prophecy, I believe we'll be out of here when this takes place, because a nuclear attack against the United States of America may be the very opportunity that Gog, the leader of Magog, the leader of an ancient name for Russia, is looking for, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, to come down in an invasion from the north into Israel. Because In that attack in Ezekiel 38 and 39, America is not mentioned. The West, Western power, is not mentioned. I wonder. Just saying. Amen. But here in our text with the impending judgment of Babylon so near, God warns the saints of the tribulation, just as he warned Noah, just as he warned Lot, just as he's warning us, the church today, in preparation for the rapture of the church, to come out from among Babylonian worldly influence. The third voice that we find here is the voice of lamentation, the voice of lamentation, of sorrow. Verses 9 to 13, read along with me. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment. What's this for fear of her torment? Could be for fear of nuclear fallout and for fear of being contaminated by radioactive nuclear fallout, so they stand afar off and they weep. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour," that is either literally or figuratively, but 1 hour, something that happens, boom, immediately, your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and incense and fragrant oil and frankincense and wine and oil. Fragrant oil and wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. Now again, he is speaking in his terms, his language, you know, but body and souls of men. They are weeping not over their sins, but they're weeping over the loss of riches. People love their money. Money make you funny if you're not careful.
You're listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. This broadcast originates at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. We hope you were blessed by today's study in the awesome book of Revelation. And if you were, we'd love to hear about it. Email Pastor Al at amen@cwccs.org. That's amen@cwccs.org. And include a prayer request if you'd like to. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the Skills section of the Alexa app on your phone. I also want to remind you to not miss a single episode of Pastor Al's podcast called Uncuffed, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other platforms. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with us, perhaps you'd like to help support the ministry. We'd be so encouraged if you would. And you can donate online at cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. Our address is Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the area and looking for a church home, stop by on a weekend to Calvary Worship Center and be sure to introduce yourself as a radio listener. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website at cwccs.org. And then, join us next time for The Dwelling Place, when we'll again open the book of Revelation with Pastor Al Pittman. Until then, may God bless you mightily as you dwell in his magnificent love.